Well, rain and more on the way. We're looking at the wettest Midwest at this time of the year ever. Wow, you know, the optimum corn planting window, it's been closing for a week, and it is getting later by the minute.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we've got a Friday free-for-all with panelists Sean Haney, Pam Johnson, and Gary Niemeyer. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, Davis, welcome back. It's good to talk with you again, buddy.
It's great to be here. Great to be here.
You know, I'm telling you.
Yeah?
I'm telling you, corn right now is 2-3.5 cents higher, something like that. Mm-hmm. If something happens to that market and it turns around and falls back and closes lower on the day, mm-hmm. there may be an effort to start a GoFundMe account to keep you out of the office at least through spring.
I'm not looking for a handout, Chip. I just want a market that supports prosperity. That's all I'm asking for.
Exactly.
If it takes me staying home to do that, then doggone it, that's what I'll do.
I'll
tile my entire house if that's what it takes.
Dude, I'm not willing to let that happen.
These futures at 399, up 2.5 on the day. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Come on, baby.
I believe it's got a high right at $4 this mm-hmm. morning. Yeah, right at $4 for a high in the D's futures. You got out to that July 20 contract. There's a high there at 420. So these are some of the numbers that guys have been tossing around for a while, saying, just get me back to $4 D's. Get me back to 420 July, and I'm going to start making some sales in here. Well, ring the damn bell, boys.
Yep.
Here we are. Yeah. Now, the one thing that just it just is like shocking to me is mm-hmm. and I get what's going on here today. The idea that we're going to roll out of corn acres and into more bean acres because of these planting delays, that idea has really kind of taken over the market here this morning. Beans are off 9-10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I've got news for you fellas. Right now, the bean corn price ratio, yesterday it was at 2.18. Now, to make beans economically viable against mm-hmm. corn, uh-huh. the ratio has got to be somewhere around 2.35 to 2.37 is kind of how it works in my head.
Okay.
For soybean price to be given some incentive to go ahead and make the effort to put beans in the ground. Yesterday at the close, it was 2.18, and this morning it's 2.14. Now tell me, if you don't have fertilizer down and if you don't have this, and we're going to talk to Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, Gary Niemeyer, Illinois farmer about this. But if you don't have fertilizer down and you're looking at the pricing opportunity that you're getting in soybeans right now, mm-hmm. what would you do? What would you do? I'm not exactly sure what you would do on this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a tough decision to make, and we are at risk of really running our prevent plant numbers up to some levels that we've never seen before.
Yeah. Especially out there in the Eastern Belt. Gosh. Oh,
It's heartbreaking.
Yep.
It is absolutely heartbreaking. Now, guys here in the Western Belt, as long as you're north of 30, I'd call it, because the heaviest rains in Iowa last night, I believe, were mostly south of the, you know, that's not exactly right either. I mean, there were some rains that slid up here to Waterloo, Highway 20.
For sure.
We got some light rain overnight, and mm-hmm. But the heaviest rains were south of 30. And I'm telling you, the guys in Iowa have made some incredible progress over the last 72 hours.
Dude, they were turning and burning in my backyard.
Absolutely, they have made some incredible progress. There were lights in the field.
Yep.
At hours that normally everybody's home and in bed. But not this year. The guys in Iowa, Minnesota were really running to get things done. Even guys up in South Dakota were pushing hard. Yep. And that was far from fit, but they were pushing hard. But the guys in the Eastern Belt aren't even getting a chance.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's get to it. We've got a great free-for-all coming up.
It's going
to
be awesome.
What's in the news?
Well, Chip, President Trump's hard line on trade issues with China appears to defy China's strategy of seeding discontent among the president's strongest supporters in rural areas. An expert said China is confused that Trump's support actually seems to be growing as the conflict rages on, and each side may be forced to defend or abandon their respective nationalist approaches to negotiations. China has made threats to suspend talks if Washington continues to toe its hard line. Now, the Trump administration continues to reconnoiter over aid to farmers in light of the ongoing trade war with China. The president had originally suggested the government purchase $15 million in commodities from farmers to offset losses, charging Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue with the task of filling in the details. According to Politico, recognizing similar efforts in the past, Perdue said on a conference call, quote, "We will look at the history of what happened with that program and we'll try to learn from it and improve from it and address some of those stakeholder comments." USDA says it has already paid $8.5 billion in direct aid to farmers for 2018 production. The deadline for certifying 2018 production is today, Chip. The European Commission will not renew anti-dumping duties on imports of U.S. ethanol imposed in 2013. Industry officials say the move will encourage demand for U.S. ethanol in the EU. That's got to be good news, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I was just making a note. I had forgotten that the MFP deadline was today.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, gosh. Okay, go ahead.
That's on your 2018 production. And right. USDA is tightening the screws on African swine fever, implementing preparedness and surveillance strategies. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service will work in concert with the swine industry, state officials, and veterinary diagnostic laboratories to keep the deadly disease out of the U.S. hog herd. And according to Creighton University, their monthly rural Main Street Index softened below growth neutral since the prior month. That's according to a survey conducted by the University of Bank CEOs in rural areas. Creighton's Ernie Goss noted, quote, "For May, according to bankers, the negatives far outweighed the positives. Trade tensions and the ongoing low price environment for farmers drove sentiments lower in the survey. As a result, bankers predicted farm loan defaults may climb 10.9%, more than twice the estimated rate of growth from recent years, Chip."
Right, right. Yeah. Hey, Davis, back on your EU story and the auto tariffs.
Yes.
Okay, I knew you were going to get to that. I went back, I found this. This U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley tweeted this morning.
Oh, yeah.
"Glad President Trump delayed auto tariffs for 6 months, and I still have questions about the legitimacy of national security as a basis for tariffs on allies, Japan and EU. Mm-hmm. But hope these countries negotiate comprehensive deals with the U.S. Meanwhile, I'm working on bipartisan 232 tariff legislation to give Congress a say."
Oof. Okay.
Now, we've talked about that with the senator before on the show, that he believes that Congress should have a say when national security issues are used as to justify trade barriers.
Right.
Now, there may be an EPA RFS twist to all of this, too.
Oh,
because
boy.
What if Chuck is saying, listen, DJT, if you keep going with these small refinery exemptions, I'm going to push hard on this for the Section 232. We got the free-for-all up next.
Here's Dave Jones with the forecast.
Thanks, Karen. We have a rain system coming through the area, which means local farmers are looking at a very strong chance of nitrogen loss, unless they have Pivot Bio proven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that apply nitrogen to corn no matter what Mother Nature throws at you.
Thanks, Dave. Sounds like farmers should start using Pivot Bio proven.
That's right, Karen. With Pivot Bio proven, your nitrogen stays put, whether or not.
To learn more, go to pivotbio.com.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Central Life Sciences reminds you to get control of flies on your swine operation with Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. Clarifly Larvicide prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from animal manure by as much as 96%, and Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that tackle your fly problem. Flies spread disease, impact your neighbors, and interfere with swine weight gain. Visit centralflycontrol.com. That's three words, centralflycontrol.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
You can also tweet at us. When you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Okay. I can't believe that I'm about to say this, Davis.
All right.
But
I'm bracing myself.
I think I want to ease into the conversation here and bring in Sean Haney first.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if that's easing into anything, but Sean Haney from Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio is with us. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Hey, I know in the Midwest, you're extremely wet.
Yeah.
But where I am, we are very, very dry, and it is raining this morning. It's amazing.
Oh.
Fantastic.
So you're getting exactly what you want.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a good Friday.
Well,
it's the Friday before the Canadian long weekend. So it's I guess we can party. Let's do it.
There you go. Have at it, man. Have at it.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Grassley talking about some Section 232 tariff legislation that would give Congress a say in when it is used out there?
I just say go, Chuck, go. Right? Like, be relentless on this one. It's been laughable since the beginning, Chip, that there's been accusations that a country like Canada, which is, you know, soft and we're nice. Like, I'm a nice person. I think I represent Canada quite well on this show. The fact that you would assume that we're a national security threat is somewhat, I think we can kind of snicker and laugh about that. And I think Chuck sees through that, and Chuck needs to push hard here. We can't just have a situation where we can apply tariffs on a country that is an ally and say, well, it's because of national security. That's a pretty, pretty broad accusation that is being, in this case, I feel, is being used very inappropriately.
I don't know how you would gauge this. Is it found offensive? Are you offended by that characterization?
I guess it depends how thin your skin is.
Right.
I think we see what the president is doing in this case, right? Mm-hmm. I'm more disappointed because I think the US and Canada have had a much better relationship than this to say that, hey, you're a national security threat. So I think it's more just we need to move past this and you know, Chuck's a great leader on this. He needs to be relentless. And your comments about the RFS possibly tying in is good.
I think there is a potential tie in there. You know, because when Senator Grassley ramps up his conversation level on Section 232, he does it at the same time that he is ramping up his conversation and his rhetoric or comments on the RFS and the lack of transparency on the small refinery exemptions, the waivers. He may not be trying to tie the two together, but when you listen to how he addresses the two separate issues at the same time, you just wonder if he isn't saying, listen, President Trump, I respect you. I respect the position that you're in, but you've got to do something about the RFS and the gutting of the RFS that is happening at EPA. And if you don't, I'm going to be a thorn in your side when it comes to the Section 232, and we're going to take some of those powers away from you. I don't know. Pam, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I'd say thank you, Senator Grassley, and I think it shows it's about damn time for the rest of the senators and Congress people to speak up, Republican or Democrat, because there have been some bad policy decisions made, and Congress does have a role in advising. And I think we're in trouble when we have a president who doesn't listen to advice or constructive criticism, and it's pretty sad to me that this is the way it has to be handled.
Yeah. Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of NCGA, past president of Mazol, a regular right here on the free-for-all. And get this, guys, we had to give up one Wiesmeyer, but at least we got a Niemeyer back. Gary Niemeyer, past president of NCGA, farmer over in Illinois, is with us today. Gary, how are you?
Well, for a change, it's actually dry here just for a little bit, maybe until tomorrow. But, hey, Pam, long time no see. And as you can tell, Pam and I are on the same page when it comes to making sure our congressionals, both sides, pay attention and bring things to the floor. We need to get this thing resolved on, we need to revisit the RINs issue, because it was very detrimental to our ethanol industry. And it has become a windfall for certain large oil companies who seem to only be interested in squeezing out smaller competition. And that's bad. We need E15 right now back to the level it should be, because we got to create demand markets, and that's what we need to do right now. And I love your beginning. This is about transparency. I love it.
Yep, it is. And we need to build that demand from within. Now, Keith from Missouri, I believe Keith has called in before. It's always good to have him on and hear what he's thinking. Keith, welcome back. How are you today?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just would like for you all to think about national security this way. If China, and no matter who's dumping steel, keeps dumping steel, and all our steel producers go out of business, how couldn't that be national security? And that's what Trump is looking at, because it doesn't matter where China's dumping steel in the United States or other parts of the country, eventually steel prices are going to get so bad that you're going to put people out of business.
Yeah. Yeah, and Keith, I think that is exactly what President Trump was thinking when he went the route of Section 232. Now, as far as China goes, I mean, Sean, I'll bet you know the number. What is it, 1-2% of the steel that that the U.S. imports comes from China?
Oh, you caught me off guard. I don't know that number, Chip. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's a small amount. It's a small amount. We do much more trade with steel when it comes to Canada and when it comes to Mexico now. But the issue here is, you know, those jobs, yes, they're very important to the stability of the United States. I get that, Keith. But is it an economic issue or is it a national security issue?
Correct. I guess my point is, if it's an economic issue at this time, but if it puts everybody out of business, then what happens if it could be a national security when it comes time that they need steel to produce war machines or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. And if we do mothball all those steel factories out there, and what happens when China or Canada or the EU or whoever decides, you know what? Now we've got them where we want them. Let's shut off our steel exports to the United States and see how they like that.
Correct.
I get that. I do, Keith. I understand where you're coming from on that. I really do. Good comments, Keith. We got to keep moving here, though.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling in. All right. Let's bring Gary back on here because I know there is a campaign being run at NCGA right now that has really it's ended up in some very wide differing reactions out there, and that is the hashtag a penny won't cut it. It's referring back to the one penny in the first round of the tariff relief payments, the MFP, market facilitation payment. Gary, how do corn growers go forward now with this program? What should that the tariff relief package look like for a corn farmer?
So you want a penny for my thoughts. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Bogus. It came out. I still think it was bogus at one penny. We have to have a little reality. We really don't ship a lot of corn to China, and that's probably where all this stuff started. However, all markets are the same, and when soybeans take a big hit, so does corn. And so it's got to be proportional when we do this. Gosh, I sure hope we get at least 10 cents a bushel on some kind of a new proposal that may be coming out. We just can't take one penny because that distinguishes us and hurts the corn industry a lot.
Yeah. And Gary, I don't want people to read you wrong. I mean, you would much rather have the market and get your revenue from the market.
Well, my first thing is every farmer that I'm familiar with, including myself, would rather get the revenue out of the market. But let's get real about this. And this goes back a little bit to the steel and the aluminum. When all these tariffs began, it was to create jobs in America and keep jobs in America. And it really was more about the auto industry than it was about the grain industry.
Yep.
Because we had a tariff in Mexico and Canada through the previous NAFTA. So those payments are, in my mind, the representation. Look, we've taken a little bit out of your hide. We want something.
Right.
Making that bring autos back to America.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it was the retaliation that brought agriculture into the whole trade mix here. I don't think the Trump administration was initiating the fight with China in an effort to shut off soybean exports. It was the retaliation. More of the free-for-all up next.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand tractor filter. You know, the one they're practically giving away at the farm store. So a lot of people choose me to filter their precious oil, fuel, or air, but I don't work as hard as your tractor's OEM filter. I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components, so dust and contaminants, they're your problem, brah.
Off-brand filters are not John Deere filters. OEM filters are engineered for maximum performance in your John Deere machine. Don't risk it with anything less.
Every season, you try to raise the bar to achieve your best soybean yield ever. But frog eye leaf spot, brown spot, aerial blight, and white mold can get in your way. New DeLauro fungicide will help you fight them. DeLauro delivers unmatched preventative and curative defense against yield-robbing diseases, so your varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve personal best yields. Keep raising the bar with DeLauro from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, I tell you, when you've got corn call it 2.5 to 4 cents higher, and beans 8 to 10 cents lower, that's the combination you just don't see very often.
Yeah, I think you call that divorced, Chip. yes. I don't know but corn, you know, corn's getting its support from the weather. Forecast maps are ugly. Next 7 days here or so, 10 days, it's going to be very heavy rainfall across the Corn Belt. More severe planting delays, obviously. Questions about yield impacts, acreage impacts, and the corn market's responding. The soybean market is tied to Chinese trade jitters, and you know, the news overnight that maybe China's ready to pull back on the trade talks if the U.S. isn't sincere about things. And so I think that, you know, those are two dividing forces, obviously, and we're seeing it in the price action this morning.
You know, let's get this conversation started because we're going to get into it here in the next. But China is accusing us of not of the U.S. of not being sincere in the negotiations when they kind of changed things up in the last in the 11th hour, what we thought was the 11th hour.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's an interesting dynamic going on. And this is the reason that the trade talks have been so prolonged and why they're probably going to last quite some time yet. Just the both sides are digging in their heels. Neither one wants to lose face. And when you get into a situation like that, it's very hard to come to a final agreement.
Is there a little strength in the cash cattle?
You know, I haven't seen anything yet this morning. I think it's more corrective buying in the futures than anything. But it wouldn't surprise me if we saw the cash bids move up a little bit from where they were earlier in the week.
All right. Got mixed trade going in the lean hog market. Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Radiate is designed to help crops build longer, stronger, healthier root systems. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go to RadiateRoots.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me, and it is a free-for-all. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer. Gary Niemeyer, Illinois farmer. Both of those guys are past presidents of the National Corn Growers Association. Okay. Now, guys, the reaction that we got yesterday when the hashtag A Penny Won't Cut It rolled out from NCGA was, like I said, was very mixed. Some were very supportive of it. And Gary, I get what you're saying. You know, a penny was almost an insult. It was an insult in the last MFP payment. But the reaction ranged from, you know, some people were very upset by it, saying, listen, stop asking for a handout. Let's just get this done. And in the middle ground was some embarrassment. And on the other end of the equation were some farmers saying, yep, let's get behind this thing and let's jockey for position for more in the second round of tariff relief payment. If there's, my opinion, if there's going to be a second round of payments, you got to play the game. You got to jockey for position. I get that. Pam, what's the right thing to do here?
Well, first of all, welcome to Gary. He and I worked together many years on farm policy, and I think that market facilitation payments and not trade are the reality right now. Okay. So what does that mean to advocate for your grassroots? I mean, it's the job of leadership to work for long-term profitability for farmers. Yep. So that being said, I hear the comments about I'm embarrassed about going to my government to ask for more than a penny on a bushel of corn.
Right.
But I think bigger than that, I'm embarrassed that we plain have to do this, that we have to play this game, but we have to represent our membership out there. And hearing that 1 cent was going to be how it was going to go down this time, and all of us now are in there jockeying against each other about who gets the most money and is it fair? No, it's not. And we don't want it. But this is reality right now. And so we have to be in there speaking up for our farmers. And that means if we don't go in there and advocate for that payment to be more fair this time, we're dealing with how the market's being manipulated, and I don't like it either, but it's the reality of it right now.
Yeah, yeah. Gary, making the payment as quote-unquote equitable as we possibly can across the commodities out there, where do you draw the line? Because we've got the direct impacts from the trade war on commodities like soybeans, corn, pork, but there's also all these indirect impacts. I mean, I made this point yesterday on the show. The value of silage is determined by the price of corn. So if you're cutting silage for your cattle, should you get a payment?
Good question. We don't have any cattle anymore, but I'm assuming that they should. But, you know, I've been thinking about a larger issue to look at.
Okay.
If you start making payments unproportionately, say 165, that's what they used the last time, versus a penny, don't you think that with a weather situation like we got, you're going to end up with a billion and a half bushel of soybean carryover next year and a shortage of corn? What are you telling the market you want to do?
Yeah, you know, it depends on how this second round of payments is structured. If it's based on actual 2019 production, then I know guys yesterday that should have been planting corn, but they were planting beans because they figured that the next payment, the second round, is going to be on actual production and it's going to favor soybeans, so they were putting beans in the ground instead of corn. Now, and that's when they're staring the last plant date on corn right in the face. Just, you know, it was tough to figure there. But I think it's going to be based on something historical.
Well, this is just exactly what all of us have worked for and worked against for all these years, is we did not want to be working for the government and distorted planning intentions because of government programs. We all were wanting to make the market work, and we see this, that strategy of letting the market work just deteriorate by the week. I mean, last week kind of was the clincher for me about, oh my God, we're in this for the long haul now. So how do we do damage control? So we're all trying to figure out damage control now and trying to make the best decisions, but our options are very much limited.
Yeah, you know, you nailed it right there, Pam, when you said we've been trying to get away from anything that will distort acres anyway at all. Well, if you're going to stay away from it on this second round, you better base it off of historical production, you know, whether it be your highest level of acres planted to soybeans or acres planted to corn in the last 4 years at APH, or your crop insurance number, or, you know, whatever it is. I think you've got to look backwards on this, or you're going to run the risk of distorting plantings, and that opens you up to the WTO.
Yeah, options are really limited now. And, you know, Gary and I'll never forget this, Gary. We had to go sit in Chicago at the Chicago Tribune and defend farmers and farmer decisions and farmer policy on the farm bill. And we said, we're moving away from all that. We're not looking to the past. We're looking to the future. Well, now, what do I say? We got to apologize to everybody because we're going back to the past, to policies that didn't work the first time around, and it's very depressing.
It feels like we are going back in time here, guys. Remember the Amped Up Ag Market Transition, or Ag, what was it? The
it was some payments, kind of a pick and roll, you name it.
Well, yeah,
those bins.
Yeah, that gets you back into the 80s. But as recently as the 90s under Clinton, when we were getting the ag market transition payments, that was just a direct payment. Guys, when everything is said and done, I think this is just going to end up being a direct payment.
Well, I want to go back to what Pam has been saying. She's been patting me on the back. I want to pat her on the back because the two of us together created the RFS. We were both in on the board at the time the RFS was created. We created demand for 5 billion bushel of corn.
Yep.
We created demand for ethanol. And ever since that time, it seems like everybody's been picking it apart and trying to destroy a market-driven a market that is friendly to farmers, but it's market-driven, and it's a needed process. In fact, I think we ought to be starting work with autos a little bit and then have a minimum octane standard for cars built after 2024 so we can get up to the 20 to 30% blend.
Yeah.
You know, and this market flow because of demand, not because
Amen.
Of being paid. That's exactly what Pam and I are saying. We don't want a direct payment, but when these markets are manipulated by trade tariffs and or RINs issues, which are bogus, I think we need to get back to where we were.
Yes,
but don't. Here's the trouble. When you put yourself outside of this great bubble of agriculture, it goes off. This whole thing goes off so poorly. I understand where the NCGA is coming from, but I kind of fell in the middle, Chip. The feeling I had was embarrassment for the farmers across the country because they're a proud bunch. For the most part, I hear a lot from American farmers and ranchers. I want the government out of my business. This whole scenario that's being set up here is people basically begging for money, and how it looks from outside this bubble is farmers and ranchers across the U.S. voted for this administration. Now they're taking consumer funds, which is the tariffs, and funneling it to farmers. It looks like an election 2020 payoff. And it's more complicated than that, I understand. But it just, this whole thing, the track we're on here is not what people wanted. And I really do sympathize and feel bad for the position that everybody is in because it's just really disheartening. And I think the NCGA could maybe accomplish their goal, but not the hashtag they use, I just thought was very poor. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and unfortunately, it's the narrative that usually is what is you get beat up over. But, you know, I kind of want to move on because I think that this is a great opportunity for Republicans and Democrats to have Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell bring the USMCA to a vote right now, especially with how we're moving forward on aluminum and steel tariffs, because I think there's a vote out there to pass it. And I think that every person that listens to your radio show, I don't care if they're R or D, that doesn't matter, they need to call their representative and their senator and say, we want you to vote now so you don't put us in this perilous situation that we're in.
Hey, Gary, Pam, Sean, Axios is reporting right now, basically as we speak, that the U.S. is set to lift steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I'm going to get... Sean, you know what to do. Get scrambling. Let's get as many details on this as we possibly can. Davis, you do the same thing. We'll come back and talk about what that might mean coming up here in just a second. It's a free-for-all. We got Pam Johnson from Iowa, Gary Niemeyer from Illinois, Sean Haney up in Canada. I'm Chip. Davis is looking.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
The premier Farm Journal Hemp College is coming to Lexington, Kentucky on June 19th. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your questions. Register for Farm Journal Hemp College at regonline.com/hempcollege.
It's time to give back to your roots and make this your best growing season with Radiate. Radiate's patented formulation of plant growth regulators help develop longer, stronger, healthier roots to improve nutrient uptake. And now, when you give back to your roots, you give back to FFA. Nutrient Ag Solutions and Radiate are proud to support national FFA alumni and supporters chapter grant programs across the country. Ask your Nutrient Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go online to RadiateRoots.com for more details. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
Central Life Sciences reminds you to get control of flies on your swine operation with Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. Clarifly Larvicide prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from animal manure by as much as 96%, and Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that tackle your fly problem. Flies spread disease, impact your neighbors, and interfere with swine weight gain. Visit centralflycontrol.com. That's three words, centralflycontrol.com.
So we've summarized 11 papers from the scientific literature evaluating broadcast versus banded injections. In these studies, they cover data from 10 different states. And what we found was that there's about a 10 bushel yield increase for banded applications then over that broadcast application event. And the reason for that yield increase is when we broadcast nitrogen fertilizer on the soil surface, there's opportunities for end loss through volatilization. There's also the opportunity to tie up some of that N through the microbes that are degrading the residue from the previous corn crop. We also found an advantage in three out of those 11 papers where they looked at banding, where they placed that N 2 inches over and 2 inches below the corn seed. And the yield increase of that band versus broadcast was about 15 bushel increase. And the reason proximity to the corn row is important is that when corn plants are young, there's cold, wet soils that impede root growth. And so by placing that end closer to that root system, those corn plants more easily have access to that nitrogen and easier to uptake that nitrogen. But keep in mind, there's also risks with banding nitrogen fertilizer. Free ammonia can damage or severely stunt shoots or roots of young corn plants. And so we need to keep that consideration while we're banding. So there's lots of different methods of applying nitrogen in a band. And what we want you to do is go to your local John Deere dealer and ask about how banding can benefit your farm operation by increasing yields and increasing the nitrogen use efficiency of fertilizers. You can also go online and find the Growing Green article where we've summarized these 11 papers and check out the data for yourself. For John Deere, I'm Brad Vanny Woostein, and this has been Lead TV.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's a free-for-all. I'm Chip, the Chuckler's Davis.
Yeah.
We got John Haney from Real Agriculture. We've got Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer. We've got Gary Niemeyer, Illinois farmer. We've got Mike North from Commodity Risk Management Group.
Beauty.
Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, you bet. Just ready for the cage match.
Yeah. And we've got Clinton Griffiths from Ag Day.
Hey, guys.
Hey, so there seems to be a lot happening here. Now, this is the Bloomberg story. I don't know. The U.S. is poised to lift steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada and Mexico in favor of stronger enforcement actions, according to people familiar with the matter, in a move that helps clear the way for USMCA ratification, Bloomberg News reports. The effective date for removing the tariffs is the outstanding issue, one of the people said. More information is available other places. Haney, I don't know. What are you seeing?
Yeah, similar stuff. It looks, you know, this is a week where Chrystia Freeland, Foreign Affairs Minister for Canada, was in D.C. meeting with Lighthizer, discussing the lifting of these tariffs. We've had Trump and Trudeau talking twice, Trudeau talking to Pence once. So we're moving in the right direction. But the fact is that the president has to be willing to actually lift the tariffs. And we need a date on this. And we need a firm date. Yep. We need a commitment to do it before it's going to go anywhere. Just talk is cheap. We're past the moment of trust. These were supposed to be lifted a long time ago. Needs to happen.
Yep.
Clinton?
Yeah. Well, some of the things that I thought were most interesting this week was the fact that Mexico is talking about a way to track metal coming through Mexico into the U.S. So that, and that to me is like coming up with a mechanism so we can track it all is probably, you know, the linchpin on this. But, you know, looking at North sitting right here, if they lift this, it's big for dairy.
It's huge because one of their first responses to the tariffs were tariff cheese. And as a, you know, born and bred Wisconsinite where cheese is king, we can't wait until these tariffs go away because it will help us quickly and immensely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, let's bring Pam and Gary back into the conversation here real quick because hopefully this does clear the way for some passage of USMCA, but there are still issues in the House in particular that could block a congressional vote on USMCA, right?
Well, I think everybody needs to quit being partisan and blaming the other party for it and get the bill introduced in the House. And then what can we all do is if you want this to happen, then you need to be contacting, like Gary said. Things don't just happen unless they hear from us. Right. And I heard Senator Grassley say, I'm not hearing from farmers about this. So, okay, it's raining. Instead of tweeting at each other, let's get out there and make some calls and make some emails and tell them you've got to get this done. You've got to lift the tariffs on Canada and Mexico. It's not a national security issue, like Senator Grassley said, and support him and get the word out there. And that's what it's going to take.
Gary, I've heard some estimates that if they would take USMCA to the House, there could be as many as 400 votes in support of USMCA, but the problem is they can't get the leadership to take it to the House.
Well, isn't this just, and I agree with what Pam said, but isn't this just a fine time when everybody wants to get reelected and they want to get out on the stump and talk about what they're going to do? This would be a fine time for them to step up to the plate and say, Nancy, Mitch, we need to have a bill come to the floor right now to pass USMCA, period, and see what happens. The votes are there, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Hey, Chip, Adrian Morrow of the Globe and Mail in Canada is reporting that they're very close to a deal to end the continental trade war by lifting these steel and aluminum tariffs. An announcement could come as soon as this afternoon, and he's been told that a final deal has not been agreed to yet. So we're still waiting.
All right, I'm just looking at the markets here for any sign that we might be seeing some reaction in here.
Yeah.
Not really. Mike, are you seeing anything or have you noticed anything?
No, we're not seeing anything on dairy markets. Certainly not seeing any help by way of the grain trade, especially in beans right now. But, you know, reality is that, and the comment was already made, talk is cheap. Headlines are one thing. You know, tweets are wonderful. But until we see hard and fast facts about what is going to definitively happen and when,
yep,
there really isn't going to be much of a response. How many times have we had a deal with China that's coming? It's coming.
I don't even know if I trust a date at this point.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Don't give me a date. Hey, just lift them.
Pam, give us the number.
Yeah, you need to text USMCA to 52886, and let's just have a tweet storm.
There you go. There you go. Text USMCA to 52886. That's an easy way of showing your support for passage of USMCA. I can't believe that we have hardly even talked about this. Gary, when do you think you're going to get done planting corn? I know you said you're into a dry window right now. When do you think you're going to get done?
Well, we started April 23rd, one field. And today they're working the ground right now before this rain. This will be my second field, but we still have like 1,800 acres yet to go. Jeez. I'm hoping that we get done before the 5th of June. I really am, especially if we have a long-range weather forecast. And since today is a free-for-all, can I throw something out that really kind of gravels me a little bit?
Do it quick.
We're talking about getting information out there. USDA came out with a report that we're going to have 2.48 billion bushel of corn. That was their February report. That just destroyed the markets until last Monday when the truth came out. We only have 30% of the crop planted.
Yeah.
We need to have April or July 16th. We need to know exactly how many acres are planted.
Yes. I hear you. Get the information rolling in there as soon as we can. Mike North, thank you, brother.
My pleasure. Good to join you.
You bet. Clinton, thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Sean Haney, it's always good to talk with you. We'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Pam, good luck to you. Gary, good luck to you. You guys be safe out there, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. That's Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, past president of NCGA and Mazel, and Gary Niemeyer, past president of NCGA, farmer over in Illinois. Come back this afternoon. We got Brian Doherty from Stuart Peterson, and Monday morning, Colin Woodall from NCBA.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the Beef Checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.